At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic are closing in on the title and can take another step towards it with victory against St Mirren tonight. No wins in five for Rangers and no Alfredo Morelos as Hearts come to Glasgow, but Ryan Kent can play and the top six could be settled. The bottom two could change again on a night of guaranteed high drama in the Premiership. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Daryl Broadfoot.
As you just touched on, interest and intrigue right through the card. Can Celtic take that step closer? What implications for St Mirren at the bottom of the table? And will Rangers manage to fashion their first victory in five games?
Jim Duffy, if you can't get excited about a full Premiership fixture card in April, a number of weeks before the season ends, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, and still a lot of drama to unfold. You know, yeah, of course, Celtic have more or less wrapped up the title, but there's still European places, a top six, and that relegation battle is certainly not going away. And there's still, even after tonight, there'll still be a few nails getting bitten over the coming weeks.
It's match day, so we know what we're looking for from you. Give us a call, let us know your thoughts ahead of your team's game tonight. Who should play? Who shouldn't play? How do you see the game panning out? All of the above and more. 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, so let's hear from as many of you as possible as we go forward. And as if that's not enough, Daryl, the fallout from Sunday is still very much there, in case you needed me to tell you.
Yeah, and the sad thing is we've lost a sense of decorum with the fixture. Yes, the intrigue deepens, but you know, we'll take to one side what happened off the field in the city centre. But Ryan Kent appeal is going to take place tomorrow now, so that strikes me as a tactical decision from Rangers. It'll be interesting to see if that constitutes a frivolous appeal tomorrow when the judicial panel hear it. But ultimately they see Kent as a fixture for tonight to get that win. It's been a long time coming.
And Jim Duffy, as is always the case, if there are a lot of talking points, whether it be disciplinary or anything else, the football impact gets a little bit lost. And it was a weekend where Celtic moved 13 points clear.
Yeah, I'm saying they were the most important thing from Celtic's point of view was winning the game. And you know, all the coverage after it, you know, was mostly surrounding you know, everything away from the actual football, which I think is sad. It's not unusual, but I think it's sad. I think it was actually a decent game. I think over the piece, I know you've discussed it the last couple of nights, but Celtic were very dominant in the first half, but Rangers came roaring back, you know, in the second half and showed great spirit with 10 men. And then it could, you know, it was a really tight game when both were 10 men, and Celtic having that late winner. So there was drama on it and there was some really good football, but invariably that gets, you know, pushed way into the background.
What it reinforces, you've got 90 minutes of football, you've got implications for a title, but beyond that, both clubs, both Rangers, have a civic responsibility. And that was missing towards the end of that game.
That's looking back though. Let's look forward, because every team in the Premiership is involved tonight, so you must have something to say. You must have some thoughts regarding your team tonight. 0141 951 1025. Let's go to Ibrox first. Rangers against Hearts. Andrew McLean is keeping an eye on things there.
Yeah, good evening. Rangers, of course, looking to put Sunday's Old Firm defeat behind them here against Hearts. Stephen Gerrard saying he's glad that this game has come so soon. But some of the fallout from that match does have an effect on this game tonight. Rangers, of course, without Alfredo Morelos. He starts the first of his four-game ban tonight. While Andy Haldy is also suspended. He picked up a second yellow card after the full-time whistle. But as you mentioned earlier, Gordon, Ryan Kent, he was cited by the Scottish FA yesterday, but Rangers have chosen not to accept that, which means it goes to an appeal tomorrow, and that means that he is free to play for the club tonight. But with Rangers now 13 points behind Celtic, it really just is a case of trying to get as many points on the board and try and close that gap as much as possible before the end of the season, and they'll be hoping that they can do that tonight. As for Hearts, Well, their top six place is secure, and if you look above them, they're actually just 2 points behind Aberdeen and four behind Kilmarnock, so it could be a very interesting end to the season between those three and Hibs, who look likely to seal the final place in the top half. As for team news for them, Uche Ekpeazu, he has been out on the pitch having a wander around with the rest of the players, but Craig Levein said earlier in the week that he won't play because of a head knock that he took on Saturday. Full team news I'll bring you as soon as I get it.
Come on then, Rangers fans, Ryan Kent can play, Alfredo Morelos can't, so who plays up front? How do you get around that issue? And what about left back? Could we even see some sort of involvement for Lee Wallace? That would be quite something. Let's go to St Mirren. St Mirren against Celtic. Alison Conroy is there.
Good evening, Gordon, from an absolutely freezing St Mirren, as you can imagine. Neil Lennon, of course, says he'll be looking to his fringe players after they move 13 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. Didjik Mayata's out. Kieran Tierney's going to be rested, I think, tonight. But despite lots of rumours, there won't be a rare appearance from Marvin Comper here in Paisley. St Mirren, of course, desperate for points in their battle for survival. But boss Oran Kearney says this week's big game for them isn't Celtic tonight, it's Hamilton Accies on Saturday. I'll have the team news in around half an hour.
Internet rumour.
I knew it was too good to be true.
Internet rumour, Marvin Comper. Have you seen this one, Alison?
Yes.
Not having it?
Nah.
Right, okay. Well, it was good while it lasted. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Come on, give us all your thoughts. Maybe you're going to the game tonight. Maybe you've got some ideas about who should play, who shouldn't play. And Jim, we're at that stage of the season. We'll look at the bottom a bit later on. But with two games to go until the split, if Rangers lose one of them, two wins for Celtic clinches the title. That's how close we're getting.
Yeah, I mean that game at the weekend, you know, said, you know, give us that situation, and you know, it's all a matter of time before eventually Celtic cross that finishing line. But you know, they're intriguing games tonight for different reasons. Obviously, you mentioned Oran Kearney saying it's maybe not his main priority, but I still think, you know, maybe in the back of Celtic having the high, you might think he might catch them off a little bit, a few injuries as well. Neil Lennon said he might play some fringe players. All those things, I think if you're a St Mirren player, you're thinking, great, you know, we've got a slightly better chance to maybe getting something. Any can result at all is a fantastic bonus for them. And then Hearts, I actually think Hearts have done well this season. I really do, considering the amount of injuries they've had. They've been battered by injuries from pretty much early on defensively. You know, likes of Souter and bearing that out, and then losing players, and then EPA's out again tonight. And Naismith, you know, was terrific for them. So I actually think they've done well to hang on in there and actually be where they are.
And that's probably Rangers' biggest boost tonight, that EPA's out.
Yeah.
Watch the highlights, listen to what was said about the Hearts Aberdeen game. And Hearts unashamedly play to their strengths, and Nick Pearce is in the team. It can be unplayable at times, but to do what they've done without, as you say, for long spells of the season, Stephen Naismith, Ekpeazu, shows the job that Hearts have done. It's getting that form consistently, but Ekpeazu out of that team tonight's a boost for Rangers.
Jim Duffy and Daryl Broadfoot are here to take your calls. Billy is a Rangers fan, first up tonight from Greenock. Billy, how big a game is this for Rangers this evening?
Hi guys, I'm driving up the. It's a big game. Obviously, we've got to try and cement second place after what happened the weekend. So, I'll be a hard game, but I'm expecting to take the 3 points. If I can go to my point, is that okay, aye?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just trying to get a feel for the game.
Aye. I'll be a hard game. I mean, Craig Levein always sets his team up kind of defensive. They always have to break down, and we have struggled to break St Johnson and Kilmarnock that down, and obviously Aberdeen. But again, I'm going back to my friend Alfredo here. I've got a wee different slant on it. I'm not saying the guy's an angel, far from it, but the guy came here a year ago, 20 years of age. I think he's 21, 22 now, right? The guy's thousands upon thousands of miles away from his homeland, right? I think he's been bullied. He's been picked on. He's been provoked. And I really think people in Scotland, opposing teams, managers, etc., should actually take a look at themselves. You see this guy, if he was working in a factory, right, and he was getting tripped up to the hand and provoked and bullied. And people can say all they want, but it's a different scenario. But I just think this guy should have been welcomed into their country and paid for a wee bit more respect. A lot of journalists need to look at themselves as well as players. I just think a guy's just been totally bullied, and it's a disgrace to the whole of Scotland. The content brings all culture people to here and asylum seekers. I just think the way the guy's been treated is a disgrace. And I know he's not done himself any favours, but he's reacted. There are only so much you can take.
Wow. Listen, there's two things. What you've alluded to is borderline xenophobia. Somebody who's come into our country needs to be afforded more. He's 29 goals this season, and people are already talking about him as player of the year, player of the season calibre. So if you take his goal scoring exploits, actually Scottish football is about to celebrate, certainly with a shortlisting. However, there's a fundamental flaw in Alfredo Morelos' makeup, and it's 22 cards over the course of that season. 17 yellows, 5 reds, admittedly one overturned. But to say that clubs and rival players ought to show more respect, it's a competition. And in any competition, you have to exploit the weaknesses of your opponent. And that weakness has been exploited time and again. And despite the goodwill of the Rangers fans, the goodwill of the Rangers manager, even the manager himself exhausted that patience at the weekend. So I don't think you can start to draw comparisons with xenophobia, but equally at 22, he's not a kid anymore. You look at Kylian Mbappe, who effectively won the World Cup for France as a teenager. So I don't think his age is a factor, but his maturity has undermined Rangers' season, notwithstanding the 29 goals he scored.
Yeah, I mean, he's a reactive player. He's reacted, and this is the thing. I mean, you know what Billy says in terms of other managers, and you know, you've heard, you know, if you know you can get inside someone's head, if you can wind someone up, then you wind them up, and it's about how that player reacts to that. Always, it was always said many years ago, and it's still said now. You take it as a compliment when someone winds you up or tries to put you off your game, because they only do it to the good players. You don't do it to the duds. You don't have to do it to the duds. You only do it to the good players to try and say, right, I'll distract him. And that's what Alfredo Morelos hasn't understood, that this is actually a backhanded compliment. And the best way to deal with it, stick the ball in the back of net, and at the end of the game, you're the guy that goes away with the biggest smile. But unfortunately, he hasn't managed to deal with that. Now, whether that is because he's still a little bit immature, maybe it is a cultural difference at times. There are certain aspects, I'm sure, you know, you do need to, he needs to have a little bit of leeway. But I think being here for 2 years, as Billy said, I think he knows the game now. He knows what's required. And also, he's playing for Rangers. Rangers are a big, huge club. And he has to understand that everybody wants to put one over Rangers, including their biggest rivals.
If he wants to go to a bigger club, mm-hmm. and he's expressed that before, that ultimately the Premier League in England is something that he finds, then potential suitors will take a look at his goal scoring record, but then take a look at the disciplinary record. And that's something that stands as a fundamental flaw.
Billy, on you go.
Aye, just one more point. See, on the I'm not too disheartened after Saturday. Obviously, I defeated Celtic. But last year, at this time, we lost 5-0 in Celtic. And we lost 4-0 in the Scottish Cup to Celtic, but a week later, or the week before, we lost 3-0 to Ibrox. On the three games, and over 13 points, I don't think that does us justice, but see, on the three games we played against Celtic this year, we lost 1-0 at Parkhead, we don't 1-0, and lost 2-1 at the weekend. And again, Jim and I said it was a great game. The second half could have went either way, we didn't have any chances. So, on the performances this year against Celtic, we've 100% dramatically improved. And I'm really looking forward to next season, because I think that another one or two signings, I don't think getting into the group stages in Europe done us any good this season, to be honest. Financially, aye, but see, playing Thursday, Sunday, we didn't have the squad to do that. And if you analyse a lot of the points we dropped, Livingston away, Motherwell at Fir Park, it was after the games in the Thursday.
Billy, how do you explain the fact that Rangers haven't won in the last five games?
I know that we're going to boil in, I don't know where that's tiredness or but whatever. Celtic's kind of tired as well, but they've got the lead. I don't know. I really don't know, but I think we can have a right good going. It'll be ultimate time next year, to be honest.
All right, thank you to Billy in Greenock. I don't want to spend all night looking back, so Let's combine the two things. Because of what happened at the weekend, Alfredo Morelos cannot play tonight. Who does play? Does Jermain Defoe just play in his place, or did Rangers mix things up a bit to try and combat his absence?
I think Jermain Defoe's got to come in and play. You know what I mean? I think he's obviously come up here to play as much as he possibly can. It hasn't worked out, mostly because of the shape of the team. I think he initially had an idea to play a diamond in midfield, with Ryan Kent playing behind the two strikers, Morelos and Defoe. It didn't quite work out. He prefers the width with Candias and Kent primarily there. And I think Jermain Defoe come in. Again, Kyle Lafferty played for Northern Ireland and did well, worked hard.
As did Stephen Davis.
Stephen Davis as well. But up top, it'd be interesting to see. Mm. I mean, let's be honest, they're chasing second place. So, is he going to kind of change his whole structure of his team by playing two strikers now? He does have the chance to do it now with Lafferty and Defoe.
We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Dylan McLeod's going to the game at Ibrox tonight. He says, start Lee Wallace and give him the armband. Well, that would be quite something. Wolfman's got Nards, is agreeing. Lee Wallace at left back all day long, he says. Let's go back to the phones and speak to Gus, who is a Celtic fan in Calder Bank. Gus, the last time Celtic were at St Mirren, it didn't quite go to plan. Are you more confident of a win this evening?
I would say so. But what I would do, I would think about that along these lines. At the New Year game, the Celtic Rangers game there on the 31st of December, people were on earlier on there about Morelos being bullied. Morelos has given more than his fair share out over the last 2 years, and it's sadly caught up with him. I was at the game on Sunday and I found the second half exhausting from a Celtic point of view. I do, however, believe that Callum McGregor has spoken the most sense since Sunday, if you read them in the papers today, and I do think it's time Steven Gerrard piped down a wee bit. Take your punishment like a man, just like Celtic took their punishment like men on the 31st of December. I didn't hear Celtic bleating on for 3-4 days about getting beaten at Ibrox. They just accepted it and moved on. All we're hearing now is about Rangers having a hard deal, how Morelos has been victimised. Morelos is his own worst enemy, the way he behaves himself.
Scott Brown may have got on with it, Gus, but to be fair, we had about 554 calls complaining about Alfredo Morelos in the aftermath of that game, so I'm not quite sure that everyone took it and moved on. Jim, what about tonight for Celtic? You know, Gus is more confident of the last time they went to St Mirren. There is scope there, whether it's Sinclair or Tolyan or Burke or the whole host of guys that didn't play at the weekend. Would you expect a freshness tonight?
Yeah, middle to front, Celtic have got embarrassment of riches. Obviously, Roggett could start. We only come on for a short period of time at the weekend, so they might give him more game time. Obviously, you've said Burke and Ware, Sinclair, none of those guys. I mean, two of them didn't come on at all. One come on at half time. He could move Lustig in. He could play Ayer and Seminovic. I mean, you know, he does have some a really strong squad. So I think the term fringe players would probably be doing him a disservice, because they would play for pretty much any other team in the country. So Celtic will still have a very, very strong squad, but it's just sometimes we've had the high of an Old Firm match, and you know, the atmosphere, the whole adrenaline, the level of importance in terms of trying to get close to that eighth league title, then you know, the edge might just come off a little bit, and that might just give St Mirren a little opportunity, a sniff of a chance. Not a lot, because you know, the reason that they're still, you know, fighting a relegation battle, because they haven't managed to do enough in a regular basis. But I do think this is one game I think they would have a little bit of a sniff.
The carrot Neil Lennon has in his hand is cup semi-final places, and if they get past Aberdeen, then suddenly the treble becomes clear and present. So if Neil Lennon suspects that players haven't been quite at it post Old Firm game, there's enough in reserve to make the difference tonight. They should have enough in reserve, even if they change the entire team, to beat St Mirren, especially if players are now playing for that trip to Hampden.
Darrell Broadfoot and Jim Duffy are here. It's a big night for different reasons, I suppose, for Neil Lennon and Steven Gerrard. We're going to hear from both after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Darrell Broadfoot and Jim Duffy are here with me, Gordon Duncan. A full fixture card in the Premiership tonight. So much to look forward to. So come on, fans of all teams, let's hear from you on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're at that stage as well. The team lines have not quite dropped, so people are still speculating, giving their suggestions. Lee Moss says, going to the Rangers game, I think Wallace left back, Polster right back and play Tavernier at right midfield. So there's some out the box suggestions coming in. Let's hear from you then. We'll hear from both managers first though to set the tone. Steven Gerrard.
For myself and the players, it's just important that we reset and refocus on what's in front of us. You know, in football, whether you're on the back of a high or a low, it's important you move on very quickly. After a defeat against a rival, it's nice to have a game pretty quickly to refocus, and we have the chance to hopefully get a good performance and a good win against Hearts and get the feel-good factor back. So yeah, that's been the message to the players, you know, get out the system as quick as you can and focus on the next challenge. We've played them a couple of times and they've been aggressive, they've been positive. They came to Ibrox to try and win the game. It was the same when we went to Tynecastle. They're a big physical team who were aggressive. And I mean that, you know, both in and out of possession, you know, they come to try and win and play. And we expect the same. We had people watch their game against Aberdeen and, you know, they've got some threats within there and they've got a way of playing that's efficient. So we expect a good Hearts team.
Darrell, when you look at 13 points, the gap at the moment, so Rangers obviously have a job to do, which is to secure second place. But perhaps more than that, are these players now essentially playing for their future, showing that they should be part of the plans for next season?
They have to, and it'll inform the extent to which Steven Gerrard has another rebuilding job in the summer. And I don't think you can underestimate the scale of that rebuilding job without looking too far back. But people go back to 29th of December in that Old Firm victory. Jermaine Defoe came in and Stephen Davis came in as the marquee signings, because I think Rangers smelled blood at that time. Neither of them was sufficiently trusted to start the game at the weekend. So do they have long-term futures at the club, or even a future next season? I think Worrall has been a disappointment. I think he was really poor against Celtic again at the weekend. And Katic, who I think is the better player, hasn't been given a run. Yet Katic has been signed. So there are so many imponderables at Ibrox just now, not least the level of investment, to have another tilt at stopping Celtic next season. So a chance for Rangers players to stand up, to show what they can do against Hearts, but more importantly, an opportunity for Steven Gerrard to understand the players that he can trust and the players that he can't. And unfortunately for him, there are more in that starting lineup and squad who can't be trusted to deliver than can.
I mean, Jim, that's the same for every team in the country at this moment, really. Players are always playing for the future, but particularly when, you know, there's no more silverware, there are no real priorities in terms of what Rangers are going for, and there is a lot of focus on where the team is and how much they've progressed. So in that respect, these guys have got between now and the end of the season to show they're up to it.
Yeah, but you've also got a manager who's had his first season in Scottish football, and I think sometimes we tend to forget that because he's Steven Gerrard.
First season in top flight professional football as a manager. Yeah,
but everyone thinks because it's Steven Gerrard, his name, his profile, you know, the as a player, but he's still a novice manager. He had to learn about Scottish football. He had to learn, as he mentioned, they had going to places like Tynecastle, going to places like Pittodrie, the atmosphere, you know, the type of game he's in, physical. You can be told about it. You can watch the videos and all these kind of things. But until you're actually in it and experiencing it and you're on the touchline and you get that sense of it, then you've got to learn. Then you've got to look at players who can cope with that, cope with the demands, cope with the opposition and still be able to play. And then at Ibrox, we've heard a few times when it's going well, particularly early on in the season, that European fans are really right behind them. The players look, I mean, like guys like Goldson and Katic, as Darrell was saying there, were looking great. Make a couple of little errors, fans get a little bit on their back. Oh, wait a minute, they just look a bit more nervy. She's got to be able to handle all that. So it's the characters, I think, that he's got to bring in the summer. It's guys who have got a strong mental toughness.
We're about to hear from Neil Lennon, but let's take some calls first of all. Cameron is a Celtic fan in Irvine. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. What's your point tonight?
A point is, I think, coming into this point of the season, you know, the league's pretty much wrapped up. I think now, especially in the league, is a good time to start rotating the squad and bringing guys in that haven't even started the last few weeks or even the last few months, and, you know, giving them the confidence to play again. Guys like, I mean, Craig Gordon, for example, watching Scott Bain on Sunday, he didn't look as if he was fully confident in what he was doing. There was a few times that he was, you know, caught out of position, particularly, you know, at the end of the game where Ayer managed to make that save for him. And I just think bringing Gordon back in this late in the season might not be such a bad idea. Also starting players like Timo Weah, get him up front, get him starting, give him the confidence as well. You know, guys like Simunovic and things, bring them back in. Rogic, he's just back from injury. It'd be a good time to get him back in at the starting 11.
I mean, Craig Gordon's been injured, so that perhaps takes that one out of the equation. But what about the general point that Cameron makes?
I think if he's fit again, it doesn't do any harm to keep your everybody on their toes.
Do you wait until the league's completely sewn up to
no,
do that?
No, because it's more or less. I mean, it's not nothing. Listen, you know, you'll not get a book in the land that'll give you odds and anyone else winning Celtic, you know, other than Celtic just now. So, you know, listen, you know what Cameron's saying, I think, is a fair point. You know, and, but these are good players. You know, as I said before, they're not putting in, you know, kids, you know, have never played. And even sometimes when it's wrapped up, they do throw one or two in. But even Mikey Johnson's played a significant part. So there are good players there to come in. If he wants to rest Forrest, if he wants to rest Scott Brown, friends, if he wants to, he's got plenty of options in there. And Cham only played at a part of the game. I don't know if he'd come off, he was injured, or he was just getting his up to speed. But he's another one that maybe need more games. Rogic, as he said. So like, yeah, I'm alongside Cameron, and I think it's a good opportunity for Celtic tonight to give them a little bit of freshness.
The biggest risk though is
right on cue, Darryl Broadfoot. How slick is this? We've got the Celtic team. Honestly, you think we've planned these things out? Alison Conroy, Marvin Comper, is he playing?
No, Marvin Comper is not playing.
Is he on the bench?
He's not on the bench either, I have to tell you. No appearance at all from Marvin Comper tonight. Looks like four changes for Celtic from Sunday. It'll be Bain in goal, a back four of Lustig, Simunovic, Ayer and Izaguirre. Then it'll be Brown and Cham. Then Forrest, McGregor and Weah with Burke up top. On the bench for Celtic, it will be De Vries, Edward, Rogic, Benkovic, Sinclair, Toljan and Christie. I do have the St Mirren team as well. I haven't shaped it up yet, but I can tell you that St Mirren are making six changes tonight. I did say earlier that Oran Kearney did have one eye on that game against Hamilton Accies on Saturday, and it really looks like he does. It's Haladke in goal, then it'll be Corbu, Baird, Ferdinand, Popescu, Muzek, McGinn, McPherson, Kellerman, Cook and Nazon. On the bench, it'll be Holmes, Paul McGinn, Lyons, Dreyer, McAllister, Jackson and Mullen.
Cameron, you got your wish. Weah starts for Celtic. I take it you're happy with that?
Yeah, it'd be good to see him play, hopefully. Maybe not the full game, but certainly the bulk of it anyway.
Jim Duffy, we're seeing bits of what the whole conversation was about. Oliver Burke comes in, Timothy Weah comes in.
Yeah, Simunovic, Izaguirre. You know, so you know, there has been cheating. I think that's what Neil Lennon was entitled to do. And as I said before, you're bringing in good players, so you're not weakening your side in essence. You're just freshening up. And I think, as I mentioned, after a big game like that, when the adrenaline and the high, sometimes it's a bit like a European game. Sometimes you get that, it's just a wee bit flat. So you put guys in there, and as Darryl said, you throw the gauntlet down to them and say, right, okay, there's an opportunity for you tonight to say, like, I'm going to make the competition even tougher for the manager come the next game. And St Mirren, you know, they've played, it was six changes, Alison said. I mean, that again is a big risk, because although they're freshening up, I understand that. I would have thought momentum after beating Dundee at the weekend, those players would have been really high and ready for another challenge, including Celtic. So a little bit surprised there's many changes to the St Mirren team.
It just shows how important he sees the Hamilton game at the weekend, though. If you get to a position where you rest six players, you've effectively written this game off tonight. The most important thing going into the kind of last six games of the season is making sure that those players stay fit.
It's high risk, Darren, isn't it?
It's high risk, but realistically, St Mirren versus St Mirren would not bank on a result against Celtic. So on the back of that result, keep those players fresh for what is going to be a survival run-in.
So, St Mirren fans, what do you make of it? 0141 951 1025. Rangers team is out, I believe. Andrew McLean, any surprises? How are they getting around the no Morelos, no Halliday business?
Well, yeah, of course it is a bit awkward for Rangers tonight. They're going to have to make changes in this one. And the team is just out. And in goal, it's Alan McGregor. In the back four, it's James Tavernier, Joe Worrell, Conor Goldson, and it's John Flanagan that's filling in at left back for this one. The midfield, well, it looks as if it'll be a midfield three of Glenn Kamara, Ryan Jack and Stephen Davis. Scott Arfield will play a bit more of an advanced role out on the right-hand side. Ryan Kent on the left and Jermaine Defoe up top. So there's no Daniel Candeias in there either. He drops to the bench. And the bench for them is Fodringham, Katic, McCrory, Koulibaly, Gresda, Candeias and Lafferty. As for Hearts, they make two changes, Mulroney and Ekpiezu out, and in come Bozanic and Marcus Godinho for this one. A 3-5-1-1 for them is Lamal in goal. It's a back three of Conor Shaughnessy, Christoph Berra and John Souter, Jamie Brandon, Arnaud Joom, Peter Haring, Oliver Bozanic and Marcus Godinho across the middle, with Sean Clare just in behind Craig Whiten. The substitutes: Doyle, Lee, McLean, Keena, Mulroney, Decamona and Burns.
Reaction to that Rangers team, Jim?
Yeah, again, a little bit surprised Candice is not playing. You know, I thought Kamara would come back into the start lineup. He has done in Davis. So the two signings that we were speaking about earlier on are starting, Davis and Defoe. And I think they've got a lot to prove still. I think they've got to be showing the Rangers fans tonight at Ibrox that they are, you know, good enough to warrant their starting place tonight. They've got an opportunity with players missing. Halliday missing, obviously, and Morelos missing. So it's given them an opportunity. A slight tweak in the style. It looked to me as if it still could be a diamond, you know, there. But, you know, I'd be surprised if Arfield played wide. He's not a natural wide player. I mean, obviously,
he'll be the point, won't he? He'll just be number 10 behind.
I would think so, you know, and maybe Kent Defoe up front. But it's one of those ones where, you know, obviously wait and see. Hearts, as Steven Gerrard said, although Piezo's not playing, they're still a very powerful team. You have three big centre-backs, you know, there. And then also you've got Haring, who's really good in the air and powerful. So they're a strong physical side still. Set pieces, they're very dangerous at. So Rangers will still have to be, you know, at the top of their game.
I'm surprised Walls kept his place, given how poorly he performed in that game. But there's no excuse for the starting lineup now. 3 points are essential to get back to winning ways and to close out second place. And as much as the previous caller said that Rangers have progressed, not by the number of points differential between a Celtic.
Stats wise, it's not. But
people also don't factor in how Celtic have regressed, and I don't think anybody would argue that Celtic have regressed from where they were last season. So a lot of pressure on Rangers players to perform, and as I said before, not just to salvage something from the season, but to make themselves realistic alternative for next season.
I think there was one or two. I'm not saying they do it deliberately, because I don't, but I do think it seeps into the kind of conscious of players coming up from England sometimes that the game's easier up here. So I think sometimes they get a little bit of a fright at times. You know, like Sir Flanagan has come up, Davis, obviously Davis knows the game, Defoe, Warrow, all these kind of guys. They've probably been told, listen, you've got there, you'll stroll it, you'll be a superstar up there, go on you go, and no problem. I mean, even myself, I thought Defoe, okay, he'll score a barrel load up in Scotland, and isn't it? So it just doesn't always quite work that way.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. I know a few of you were suggesting Lee Wallace, but he's not even on the bench tonight, so you can forget about that one again. John is a Rangers fan in Corker Hill. You've heard the team tonight, John. Are you happy with it?
I'm indeed very happy with it.
What in particular, then? Glad to see likes of Stephen Davis back in.
Well, I like Davis. I like his style. He's just no clicked at the moment, but I like his style. He's always been a good player. Actually, my point is to Jim Duffy. I had the pleasure of watching Jim in his prime, an excellent player. But I'd like to ask him his opinion as an ex-professional player. What would your reaction have been, Jim, if a fellow professional made a beeline for you at half-time and raked his studs down your ankle? What would your honest reaction have been, Jim?
My honest reaction, if someone would have raked something down my leg, I would have waited to a minute to go, John. That's what I would have done.
I'm talking to get off at half time.
No, it doesn't matter.
You wait a minute ago.
No, I would have waited though. I would have waited to my time, and then said, right, okay, now's my time to get him back. That's what I would have done.
Just so we're being clear, John, is that Scott Brown you're talking about? Do you think Scott Brown raked his studs down Morelos's?
Kirk Broadfoot.
Oh, Broadfoot, yeah.
There's no professional football player in Scotland. Wouldn't have reacted, I don't think, apart from my good friend Jim Duffy there, who said he would have waited to a minute ago. I think every professional would have reacted basically the same as Morelos.
They wouldn't have, John. I mean, listen, if they do react, you're straight away, you know, you're catching the referee's eye.
Nothing came of the Broadfoot one anyway, no, so.
But at any time, take the scenario at the game. If someone kicks you, someone has a bad tackle on you, someone deliberately fouls you, tries to wind you up, call it what you like, at any time. Listen, there are times when I was younger, you react straight away, and a lot of players. But as you get a little bit older, a little bit wiser, cuter, if you want to call it that. But the difference nowadays, John, is that when I played, there was not cameras everywhere. So even if I got someone up, you know,
you'd never have done that though, Jim, would you?
Yeah, but you could get someone a little bit later. You could get someone a little bit back, but there was no cameras. Now, even if taking the weekend, even if the referee and the linesman didn't see it, it would have been brought up and it would have got retrospective punishment. So players have to, it's a different game now, a different understanding. If you want to be cute, you're going to have to be really cute. And as I said, for me, yeah, I've got no problem with players giving and taking. Give it when you're ready to give it. But Morelos, listen, Morelos has come out himself and he said he's a tough player. You know, he's a player, he likes to confront the opposition. Up at Aberdeen when he had the sending off with McKenna. I mean, but Derek McKenna said he absolutely bullied his two centre-backs, Considine and McKenna, that day. So he does give it out and he will get it back and he'll just have to learn from it. That's the bottom line. It's all about learning. And I think it may look as if it's maybe eventually sunk in there.
Is it victimisation? No. Does he get picked on? Yes. Why does he get picked on? He gets picked on because players up and down the country now know that's the reaction. The ironic thing is Scott Brown on the pitch didn't have his greatest game for Celtic, but he did everything he needed to do as the captain to manipulate that game in his team's favour. And unfortunately for Rangers and Rangers fans and Steven Gerrard, Alfredo Morelos took the bait again.
William is on the line and we're going to speak to him next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Daryl Broadfoot and Jim Duffy are here. 1 hour to kick off in the big games all across the Premiership. A full fixture card. So come on, let's hear from every single one of you out there going to the games tonight. Well, maybe not every single one. That could blow up the phone lines. But you know what I mean. As many of you as possible. Starting with William in Craigend. Hi, William.
How you doing? Good evening, guys.
Hi William.
It's just to talk about the league itself, you know, and the improvement in terms of points. I mean, Hearts have already eclipsed their points total since last year. With a great start they made at the start of the year. And I disagree with Darryl when he says that Celtic have regressed. As far as points total goes, Celtic haven't regressed. I mean, they're only 9 points away from their total last year, so with 7 games to go. So I would look at it and say that teams have improved, but this perception that Celtic have regressed is wrong, you know. Well, I think looking at the games tonight, I think Celtic, the last time Celtic went to St Mirren, it was a nothing each draw. So, and when St Mirren's fighting for their life, I don't expect it to be an easy night for Celtic. But listening to the team there and listening to the St Mirren team, it sounds like making a lot of changes might go against them, you know. But as far as Celtic's concerned, I think freshening it up is a good idea. And it's good to see we are playing tonight.
Well, first things first, it is about opinions, but if you look at the first half Celtic had to the season, in fact, the first quarter of the season Celtic had, they'd chipped as many points as they'd managed last season. And I think most Celtic fans would acknowledge that this season, the Brendan Rodgers halo effect was starting to slip. Now, 13 points clear of Rangers, who themselves argue that they've had a stronger season than they did last year. The one thing for me where I agree is when you look at Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, to a lesser extent Hearts, all now within 4 points of contesting third and maybe having designs on second place. So competitively up and down the division, you've got Hamilton, St Mirren, Dundee all in that relegation spot. I certainly think the league is a lot more congested, but given the fact that Celtic are now 13 points clear, there's no more a title challenge this year than there was last.
Yeah. I think, William, in terms of points, you're right. But I think in terms of style, I think that most Celtic fans would say that they haven't been as much flair, you know, as pleasing on the eye in a lot of the games. They've still managed to, they've got a different, you know, way of winning football. Of course there is. And Celtic have that experience, that know-how of getting some results. But there's been a lot of games, I think, this year where they haven't performed to the same level of style. And I think Celtic fans always want that style. So I think that's maybe, you know, something that has happened. But in terms of getting the job done, absolutely, they know how to get the job done. And as I said, it's not by luck that they won a lot of games late in the game, because they have that determination and that, as I said, champion's attitude, if you want to call it that, to keep striving for that victory. And invariably, they managed to find a way to do it.
William, you want to come back in?
I think, see, when you look at the end of the year there, when you had five teams within 6 points at the end of the year before we went into the winter break, right? So you're talking the last the top of the last 10 games, teams have capitulated, which has been, I'm not just saying one team's capitulated, I'm saying the teams below Celtic have all capitulated. I mean, you're talking between, I think there's 23 points between Celtic and Hearts now, when at the start of the year there was only 6 points. Now, then that, you can, I don't know what you can blame that on. You can, as far as I'm concerned, the league has been really good this year. When you look at teams' progression, I would say Hearts, because they've eclipsed their points total already, is probably the most improved side in the league.
Okay, thank you to William in Craigend. Hearts have improved, says William. Let's hear from Craig Levine, ahead of their game at Ibrox tonight.
I thought they were decent in the game. I thought particularly, you know, after they went down to 10 men, a little bit unfortunate probably to have lost the game so late on. So that in itself sometimes can be very sore. And there's quite a lot of stuff going on, you know. Normally I'm pretty good at predicting the opposition's starting line. This might be a wee bit different this time. Yeah, it's not an easy place to win. I thought the last time we were there this season, I thought we played very well. I just didn't manage to get what our play deserved. And I'm hopeful that, you know, we can go there, put on a good show and pick up all 3 points. I think the important thing is our intent to go there and try and win the game. And that's what we'll be trying to do.
Fraser's a Rangers fan from East Calder. Going to the game tonight though, Fraser, what are you thinking ahead of this one?
It's a tough one. I think we just need to get back to winning ways. I think if we turn up tonight, we should win. But Hearts are a decent outfit, so see what happens.
How do you see the bigger picture, Fraser, between now and the end of the season? I mean, it's 13 points. I don't know. Is there a total in mind which you think, you know, anything less than that's acceptable and anything more than that's not? Is it about just trying to stay as close as you can?
I think probably target's got to go undefeated. I think, you know, there's some tough games in there, but I think getting a win against Celtic at Ibrox is a must. And, you know, picking up some other victories in there, beating the likes of Aberdeen to prove that, you know, we deserve to be in second place and we are a better team. So, yeah, I'd probably say we don't want to be drawing more than 2, but certainly can't be beating any games, I don't think.
The fact Rangers haven't won more than 3 games in a row suggests that going the season unbeaten is a big ask. What will exacerbate it for Rangers fans this season is if they finish any more than 12 points behind Celtic. That was the gap last season, and for all Rangers fans saying there has been progress and European football shows that progress, no silverware, no Hampden appearance for the semi-finals or finals at Scottish Cup. I can't see that there's been demonstrable progress given the investment that's been made. I go back to value for money. The Rangers fans genuinely believe that they've gotten value for money for the investment that the Rangers board have given Steven Gerrard this season.
Darryl's right if you're talking about measurable things, Jim, but I think where people are coming from is just talking about what they're seeing. They just feel like Rangers are a better team, feel like they're capable of more. They've come closer to Celtic, they've got the first win over Celtic. It would be these things. Yes, maybe not enough for some, but those would be the factors in the progress column, if you like.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's all about how you know, where your barometer sits. You know, you've got to gauge something, and whether it's against your biggest rivals, Celtic, or whether you finish second in the league, because Aberdeen have finished second the last 4 seasons, certainly the last 3 anyway. So, you know, they've got to look to see, you know, make steps in that direction. Darryl saying maybe the same as the points total, if you can narrow that. Again, I'm never quite so sure, because, you know, Celtic could win the league, could just switch off, you know, and sometimes you see that happening.
Fraser, you want to come back in?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, but I think certainly Rangers have had, you know, the longest season out of all the teams, and, you know, the European run is something that we haven't achieved in a few years, so I think it's definitely a positive. But, no, I agree that the points gap to Celtic has to be less, but I think it's all... I'm not worried as a Rangers fan, seeing how we got at Celtic on Sunday at Parkhead against this team who's won 8 league titles. You know, it's they're not going to get to 10. It's not going to happen, and I think certainly next season is a big season, and I think it's the one where there will be some investment, and I think it's certainly the year that will stop the stop the 10 in a row, I think.
Fraser, what gives you that optimism? And when you talk about investment, you know, £14 million worth of losses, you look through the squad, the number of loan players that could be going back. Ryan Kent, the standout this season, if you take away Morelos's goals, but the standout performer, the player that fans would love to see sign, getting quoted at £8 million. What would you like to see for next season? What do you think is achievable? And do you what gives you that optimism that, 10 in a row is not going
to
happen?
You're going to have to make it quick, Fraser, but on you go.
Yeah, I certainly think for us, I think we've got the players there, and if we can keep on to a few players, we've certainly got the likes of McCrory and stuff, who's a young player. We've got Middleton. You know, we've got plenty. We've got Defoe, who's on loan for us the next again season as well. So he's going to come good. It's just he's got to get game time and he's got to play. So, yeah, it's going to come, and I think we just have to trust in Steven Gerrard.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Big thanks to Fraser. It's time for Beat the Pundit, your chance to win a signed ball if you can get one over on Jim Duffy or Daryl Broadfoot. If you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. You need it now because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Huge games all across the Premiership tonight, so let's hear from you. Daryl Broadfoot and Jim Duffy are here to take your calls, and we'll get to them after we do this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Still lots to get through tonight. St Mirren fans, I'm keen to hear from you. Six changes tonight. Is that about, you know, just looking forward to the Hamilton game? Is it a risk worth taking? Or is it too big a risk for you? Let us know. 01419511025. Motherwell, last chance perhaps for the top six tonight. Let us know. I'm assuming you are not going up to Pittodrie because kickoff's only 40 minutes away. But let's hear from you all on the lines after we play Beat the Pundit with Ian, who's in Paisley. Hi, Ian.
Hiya.
How are you tonight?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yes, not too bad, Ian. Six changes for your team, St Mirren, tonight. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was expecting changes, but not so many. But, you know, all okay on me. We've got to trust in them.
Absolutely.
And we'll be looking forward to Saturday. And, you know, if we get anything from tonight's game, it'll be a bonus.
Yes, a bonus indeed. Well, we'll hear from Oran Kearney after we play Beat the Pundit. So St Mirren fans, keep the calls coming. Heads, Ian's up against Daryl, and tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And it is heads, Daryl Broadfoot against Ian in Paisley. So let me give you some Clyde 2, Daryl, and make sure you can't hear us. Get the headphones on and we'll get Ian's clock up and running. Ian, you have got 30 seconds. You're going up against Daryl. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yep.
You are, let's do it. Which high street shop will sponsor Scotland's women's team?
Pass.
Which club plays at Shieldfield Park?
Pass.
What was the final score in last night's Highland Derby?
2-1.
Which former Celtic player holds the record for the most caps won whilst at the club?
A pass in that.
Which Hearts player has had a diving booking overturned?
Oh, what's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name. Pass.
Mo Kamara played for Celtic and which other Scottish team?
Shipman.
I wondered if you would know that one, Ian. Right, let's bring Daryl back. Daryl, are you with us?
Yes.
You've got us.
Chrissy Hynde.
Is that right up your street, was it?
Magic.
Yeah.
Myra.
Okay. Right, same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Which high street shop will sponsor Scotland's women's team?
Boots.
Which club plays at Shieldfield Park?
Ooh, pass.
What was the final score of last night's Highland Derby?
2-1 North County.
Which former Celtic player holds the record for the most caps won whilst at the club?
Scott Brown.
Which Hearts player has had a diving booking overturned?
Bucci Ekpeazor.
Mo Kamara has played for Celtic and which other Scottish team?
Oh, Dundee United.
Who were the last? I just started it.
So you must finish.
Is the producer giving the nod? He is. Who were the last team Rangers beat?
Oh.
Quickly, you're not getting all night.
Pass.
Right, okay. Ian, what do you think? Do you think you're in with a chance?
I'd like to think so, but I think it would be a close one.
Well, let's go through and find out exactly how close it is. So the first one, which high street shop will sponsor Scotland's women's team? It's Boots. So Daryl Broadfoot moves into a 1 point lead. Which club plays at Shieldfield Park? Jim Duffy, will you help out on that one? It's Berwick. So still 1-0. Yeah. You both knew that the final score in last night's Highland Derby was 2-1. So Daryl is still one in front. Which Hearts player has had a booking for simulation overturned? It's Ike Piatsu. Daryl extends his lead. Mo Kamara has played for Celtic and which other team? Ian, I was worried for you here. You're a St Mirren fan. It was St Mirren, but you knew it. You kept your composure and you got it. So that's another one on the board for you. 3-2 to Daryl, which means the last one didn't really matter. A wee sneaky one. When was the last team Rangers beat? Who were they?
Aberdeen.
It was Dundee.
Oh, was it Dundee?
There we go. So Ian, he has pitched.
See the Celtic one with the caps.
Oh, sorry, I missed that one out. Did I? Pat Bonner, sorry. So none of you got it right anyway. There we go.
I thought it was Scotland Cups. I don't know.
Me too. That's my excuse.
Well, your excuse was to ignore when I said the word former. Which former Celtic player? That might have been
the pressure.
That was a bit of a sticking point. Yeah.
See, I had Paul McStay in my head, so that was the reason why I'm not thinking Scotland.
There we go. Right, anyway, 3 for Daryl Broadfoot and 2 for Ian and Paisley. Ian, it was close, but not close enough. Hard lines.
Yeah, no worry, thank you. Well done, Daryl.
Good game, good game.
Good man, maybe Ian's team will cheer him up after that. So there we go. Same time for tomorrow, Beat the Pundit, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson just ready to take you on as always. Big games up and down the Premiership tonight, so let's hear from you all, St Mirren fans. I did say I wanted to know what you made of those 6 changes tonight. Let's hear the teams again from Alison Conroy.
Yeah, as you say, Gordon, 6 changes for St Mirren. It'll be Vaclav Hladkovský in goal, a back three of Michail Popescu, Jack Baird and Anton Ferdinand. Then in the midfield, Lauren Tu, Corbu, Cammy McPherson, Steve McGinn, James Kellerman and Mateo Muzek. Up top, Cody Cook and Dukins Nazon. On the bench, Paul McGinn, Dreyer, Jackson, Lyons, Mullen, McAllister and Holmes. 4 changes for Celtic for tonight. Scott Bain in goal, a back four of Mikael Lustig, Jozo Simonovic, Christopher Ayer and Emilio Izaguirre. That'll be Scott Brown and Olivier and Cham. And the 3 of James Forrest, Cal McGregor and Timothy Weah, with Oliver Burke up top. On the bench for Celtic, De Vries, Toljan, Sinclair, Christie, Rogic, Edward and Benkovic. And your referee tonight is Don Robertson.
Here is Oran Kearney.
You can try and make players believe that they can fly, but there's nothing that gives a player confidence like winning games and delivering performances on a pitch. So you don't need to say anything to players after a game when they've won. You really don't need to go and add to that, because they know deep down where the performance came from, and they know that the confidence is there. You don't pick and choose the fixtures, and that's how it lies. So you know, we don't look at it as a run of games more than anything else, and we took care of Saturday as a one-off, and Wednesday night will be exactly the same. So you know, we'll dust down. There's a few tired bodies obviously from Saturday, but you know, we'll go and select a team now that hopefully can go and get us something on Wednesday night.
Jim Duffy, give us a managerial insight to when you've got this dilemma. You've got a game in which you are massive underdogs, you're not expected to take anything from, closely followed by what is approaching a must-win game against your closest rivals in Hamilton. So you decide to make 6 changes. You bring in guys like Kellerman and Cook, who we've maybe not seen quite as much of. Can it pay off?
It can, but I think it's unlikely. And part of the reason why I say that is because obviously these are guys you maybe haven't had faith in to play against Dundee at the weekend. And sometimes players... It depends. Owen Kearney knows his players. He knows the, you know, their characters, their personalities. So you might think, listen, this is a game that's going to be on TV. You're going to play against the champions elect again. You know, this is where you can show yourself. I haven't picked you recently. You know, go and show me. I should be picking you. So it might just throw the gauntlet down to these players. And again, there's a little bit of managerial psychology if you know the players. But what you don't want to do is be on the end of a drubbing, because then I think, you know, even if you do change it back again, bring those other players back, one, I think it sends a message out that your squad's not maybe quite as strong, competition's not quite as good. And two, you go into the game, as I said, just that confidence just beginning to seep a little bit. So, yeah, it's a difficult decision for any manager to make. I personally think would rather go with a more stronger team more closer to the one that beat Dundee, and just to see if you can keep that performance level as close to that as you possibly can, even if you don't win. But the performance levels, I think, and just try and keep that. And also maybe just say to the players, like, I have belief in you that you can actually compete in this game tonight.
See, I've never been in the dugout, but I get why Oran Kearney's done it. You almost write off the Celtic game and anything's a bonus, as it would be anyway. You say the squad depth, the fact they're second bottom of the league, 2 points ahead of Dundee shows they don't have the depth. They're there for a reason. He's put the pressure of expectation on them to beat Hamilton Accies. That will determine their survival or not. Mm. And if he trusts the players that got the result at the weekend to do that, then I absolutely understand why he's made six changes.
I think tonight. After the game of Saturday. That's the bottom line.
After
the game against Hamilton, St Mirren won, he's been fully vindicated.
And he sneaked a point tonight and he gets...
He's been fully vindicated, but if not, then people might ask that a different question.
I mean, when you look across the league tonight, you've got Aberdeen and Motherwell. Aberdeen have their own business they really need to take care of at the top. They're not in a great run of results either. Mm-hmm. Motherwell, it's last chance saloon. That top six could be nailed on tonight. Hibs and Hearts could seal it. Motherwell just trying to do their bit with an outside chance. And then, of course, Dundee playing away at St Johnstone at the bottom as well. So a lot of questions to be answered this evening.
That's why I said right through the card there are games that matter, and I know one of the callers had said, you know, it's an exciting league. The competition at all levels has been terrific. We have a genuine relegation battle. We have a top six struggle. You know, we've been in previous seasons where there's been 6-7 points between sixth and seventh. I think Motherwell have left their run just a wee bit too late. When you look at the run that Hibs have been on under Heckenbottom, it's been terrific. So I think Hibs will secure top six. I think St Mirren will lose, but the biggest one will be at the bottom. And you know, St Johnstone against Dundee. That is a biggie. Dundee will assume that St Mirren will lose. There's an opportunity for them to make up a bit more ground.
Yeah, and I think that's the one. If you're Jim McIntyre, you're absolutely deflated after the game at the weekend because he knows it was such a huge game. He also, it's like Darryl said, most people would bank on Celtic winning tonight. So you give your team that opportunity to get back again off the bottom and go and put pressure on perhaps Hamilton, because you know, again, both of those teams are playing each other. So the, you know, something's got to give. So it's a huge match for Dundee tonight, an absolutely huge match for them. I think if they don't win tonight, then you would fear the worst for them.
Especially when they've got Aberdeen at the weekend as well. So it could be the double whammy if Dundee don't take advantage of St Mirren's. And again, we're speculating, but odds will be heavily stacked against them. They could be looking at two bad results in a row.
I will do team news for those games a bit later on. I suppose the other question then would be Kilmarnock, because you can see why Kilmarnock fans got a little bit excited after the weekend. They're looking at Rangers 6 points above them with still to play against them and thinking, you know what, maybe we could make that up. But of course they go to Hibs against one of the informed teams tonight, so that could all change as well.
Yeah, and Stevie Clark just continues to confound expectation. Striking problems, Brophy hamstring within what, 3 minutes at Ibrox, but gets Chris Boyd back in the pitch. Chris Burke, 35 years of age, rehabilitated, new 1 year contract. He just continually confounds expectation. Conor McElhinney comes in, does a really good job. So almost irrespective of the players he's got on the pitch, he now gets a minimum performance out of that group, and it's magnificent.
Yeah, but there's two major London clubs definitely got to be interested in Stevie Clark, and QPR and Fulham.
Think so?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when you look at, I mean, even the jobs he done down south, he didn't do. I mean, his reputation down south was really good. I mean,
West Brom, was it 7th or 8th?
Yeah, and the players, you know, always, you know, you never. I mean, I know players can do that sometimes, you ask them, but even when he's left, you know, players were always, you know, very courteous and, you know, really, you know, praising Stevie Clark and the job he done. And I just think that doing the type of job he's done at Kilmarnock with the budget they have and the squad they have is outstanding, and when you've got an outstanding manager like that who has got a pedigree down south, then I think they wouldn't be doing their job right if they didn't look at him.
Absolutely, and what a partnership as well. He doesn't get any of the acclaim, but Alex Dyer as well, who if you speak to any of the players will tell you the job that he does, the kind of training regimen, and as a coaching partnership, they've absolutely transformed the club.
Kilmarnock fans are throwing things at the radio as Jim Duffy tries to move Stevie Clark on, but it's a compliment. It's just a compliment. That's all it is. Craig's a Rangers fan. What do you make of tonight's team, tonight's game, the challenge that lies ahead, Craig?
Yeah, hi, Gordon, Jim, Darryl. I think just 2 points I want to make. First, tonight's team selection, I'm not as thrilled about it as the other Rangers fans that have come on the night seem to have been, because I really wanted to see Lee Wallace come in. I suppose it was a sort of dream scenario for guys like me. And I've, obviously, when you followed Rangers throughout the third division, Lee Wallace, in my opinion, in many ways, took a massive dent in his career to stay at Rangers throughout the third division and all the way up, because he didn't have to. He was a better player than that, but at detriment even to Scotland caps, some would say as well. He remained at Rangers through that time, and I think for him now to just be thrown out in the cold, I feel like it's a bit disrespectful to what he's done for the club. So I really wanted to see him get another opportunity tonight to show what he can bring. And it's not just that. We're steaming out for a leader. And Lee Wallace is exactly that. He is a leader on the park. He has shown it over and over again throughout his career. So I was really surprised when I just felt he would have been a better fit than Flanagan, who's not really done an awful lot since we went out of Europe, I don't think.
I think when you look at the fact that Andy Halliday has been preferred as a left back, Flanagan's now in. Whatever happened in that dressing room between Graham Murty, Kenny Miller, Lee Wallace, it's had a massive impact on his Rangers career. And I understand the Rangers fans are sentimental towards Lee Wallace for staying right, you know, through the journey. And it has cost him international caps, probably cost him, I think, the peak years of his career at the top level. But you talk about leaders. Stevie Gerrard clearly doesn't see him as a leader, or he'd be in the team. Clearly, he doesn't believe that he fits into his squad, because not only is he not starting, he's not figured in the squad. And in the summer, Lee Wallace will leave. He'll find another club. I know Hearts were interested in taking him back, and he may well prove to be a leader again. But for all the Rangers fans hope for the fairy tale ending, as far as Lee Wallace is concerned, it ain't going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I think, I mean, Alex of Hearts or Aberdeen, I think, will be two clubs in particular. I think Max Lowe's on loan, so I think that they'll be looking at maybe, I know Constantine plays there, but prefers to play centre back. So I think those two clubs will definitely look at Lee Wallace. You know, the thing, Craig, that I agree with you in terms of, you know, in terms of his quality, comparing him with the other fullbacks, definitely for me, he would be in that team. But football is other aspects, and sometimes, whether it's club policy, whether it's discipline, yeah, all these sort of things, sometimes a manager has to make a statement, and good players have to suffer. There's been a lot of top players many years ago. Graham Souness and Graham Roberts. It's a fallout. Graham Roberts gets sent up to the Highlands with the youths and all these things. And, you know, the managers make statements. And so maybe, you know, Steven Gerrard's had to do that. He's maybe had to say, I think he's only played 1 minute, I think, isn't it? 1 minute, I think he's played. So perhaps he's had to, unfortunately, had to suffer from you know, the previous regime, and for one reason or another, I'm with Darrell. I don't see any way back from
him. He's also had injury problems. Having said all that, he did come on against St Johnstone just before Christmas. Yeah. So yes, it doesn't look like he's not allowed to play because of this disciplinary stuff.
No.
Stephen Gerrard even acknowledged his existence. I think it was yesterday's press conference, saying something along the lines of, you know, he's still one of us. It's an option. He was at training, so is it maybe just he just doesn't fancy him? I know people might not agree with that, but if he played against St Johnstone, it's not like he is banished completely from the club.
Which you can get if the Rangers team's flying. If the Rangers team gave a better account of themselves
against
Celtic.
There was a better left back.
Yeah, if there was a better left back, and you can mitigate injuries and lack of game time as part of the reason. But the Lee Wallace episode hasn't ended well, given the loyalty, the sense of adoration that Rangers fans had for him. It's a sad end to the former Rangers captain's career at Ibrox.
Craig?
I agree with a lot of the boys have said about Wallace, and I think, listen, if he does move on in the summer, then I would wish him nothing but the best, because I think he deserves the right for what is, you know, the remainder of his career to go to a club where he's going to play. There's the same point I wanted to make very quickly as well. I've heard a lot of talk for guys tonight about whether Rangers have progressed, and obviously looking back at the Old Firm game and all the rest of it, and I get really frustrated because, I mean, particularly Darrell, I mean, is it your intention to give Rangers absolutely no credit whatsoever in this programme tonight? Because everything I've heard has just been totally criticising Rangers. I mean, you know, even since that Old Firm game, people have been reacting, and pundits have been reacting as if Rangers went out and get blown away by Celtic and beat 5-1. That's not how that game went. Matter of fact, I listened to the coverage in this on Clyde One during the game, and at one point in the game Hugh Keevans was talking about how Celtic looked completely done in. It looked like Rangers were going to go up and score the second goal, which it did. It never happened that way, and it was just poor luck for Rangers that Tavernier makes that mistake. I think there has been a lot of progression. Getting to Europe was a bonus, but also we've came through the last two seasons of getting hammered in after hammering Celtic, you know, 4-0s, 5-1s. This season we've played against them Not once has that happened. Celtic have scored four against us this season compared to, I think it was by this point last season, something like 8-17 or something like that. So it's, you know, comparatively to last season, it is far better performance level wise on the park, and the players are showing more of a hunger. I agree that there's been issues, that they should have been winning cups and getting to finals, but it's all progress, and I don't think they're chasing second, because they're in second. It's their job to hold on to it, as much as anything else.
Darrell, respond to that briefly if you can.
Firstly, in terms of credit, second half performance, yes, but the reality is Rangers still lost that game, and with it went the title. The progress argument is subjective. I think from the start of the season, Steven Gerrard's mandate was second place and a trophy. He's fallen short of that. Since the Old Firm victory, two marquee players who were seen to be the difference, and I think at that point Rangers fans felt a genuine title bid was on. And so did the board, hence Defoe and Davis coming in. Now 13 points adrift. So as much as I'm inclined to accept Rangers fans see chinks of light, it's not borne out by what you're witnessing on the league table, or with the fact that there's no silverware.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Craig, on the line. I've got a good full-time teaser for you. Yeah, I say good, but you two are going to be enjoying it. That's all I'm going
to
say.
You were nearly saying 10-year hair, weren't you? You looked at me there, weren't you?
Yes, but usually it's Mark Guidi who's wishing with you on a Wednesday, and I definitely can't say it then. Daryl's looking all right up top, so we're fine. Yeah, we'll get that question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's time for Daryl Broadfoot and Jim Duffy to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. That's when you send the questions in, and we totally ruin the end of the show for the guys by making them come up with the answers before the show ends. So tonight's question is this. Bit of a topic here as well, a theme. You can see where we're going with this one. Just over 9 years on from one of their most famous away defeats, Celtic return to St Mirren this evening. Can you name the Hoops starting 11 from that 4-0 game in 2010? And when you look at some of these names, this should be a cracker.
Was that Tony Mowbray?
Wow.
Yes, it was his the nail in the coffin,
that,
wasn't
that
it?
That was his last game. I'm
so Celtic return to St Mirren this evening. Can you name their starting 11 from the 4-0 defeat there in 2010?
Was Scott Brown still there that day? You know,
he was there.
Let's start back to front. Mark Antoine Fortuny.
He came on, but he didn't start. It was a great guess as well. Well, I'll say great.
Great.
But he didn't start.
Average, because it was wrong. Nah,
exactly. It's about as great as a wrong guess can be.
Who's the goalie?
He's laughing already.
It's almost looking back on it, it's almost as if he picked, it's almost as if Tony Mowbray knew that this would be a full time teaser question and picked every obscure player that he could that night.
Who was a Slovak centre back?
Nah, don't worry about him.
No, okay.
Jackie McNamara?
No, you're about out on the time.
Scott Brown was brought back in. I know he was ostracised, but he was brought back.
Yeah, he didn't start that night.
He was definitely going for the sack, Tony, wasn't he?
You need to give us a couple of minutes till we start thinking about that era.
Daryl Murphy?
Nope.
No, miles off.
I can't even think. As
well,
you
we've got half an hour.
Right, okay.
It's not great radio, we'll start, this, is it?
Are you joking? It's wonderful radio.
We'll start thinking in a minute.
Okay, let's speak to Thomas, as a Celtic fan, St George's Cross. Thomas, I never, ever let this happen, but have you got one name that you could help the guys out with?
Thomas Flanagan.
Nope, he didn't start. I'm talking about the question. No, your name.
What, as in tonight's for the Celtic game?
If you hit, you must not have been listening. That's fine. I'll give you. I'm looking for the Celtic starting 11 when they lost 4-0 against St Mirren. Do you remember that game?
No, I don't, because I was a bit drunk that night.
At least you're honest. What are you on
can
for tonight?
The
anyway,
next day, Thomas, and read the paper.
I'm actually wanting to discuss about Sunday's game and about tonight's game.
Go for it.
Regards to Sunday's game, I think it's shocking. I'm a Celtic fan. Scott Brown went after showtime whistle and went to Rangers fans and celebrated. And obviously, I think Scott Brown should be punished, although he shouldn't. But it's up to Celtic.
Thomas, call me an old cynic here, right? But you're a Celtic fan. You can't remember anyone who played against St Mirren, and you think it's shocking that Scott Brown celebrated. Some people, not me of course, some people on Twitter are going to suggest you're not really a Celtic fan.
I am a Celtic fan because I've got it up my Facebook. Anyway, after that,
fake news
tonight. tonight's game, I think if Celtic win tonight, are they one game away from winning the title?
Well, we now know the arithmetical, if that's even a word, picture, in that Celtic, if and it's all ifs at the moment, obviously, if they win both their games, Jim, if Rangers lost one of their two, Hearts against Motherwell, then Celtic would win the league at the weekend. 4 points for Rangers combined with six for Celtic would be enough to prolong it to the first game after the split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone thought a couple of months ago, we thought it would get to the split. You know, particularly, you know, before the winter break, everyone thought, well, listen, this is going to be a real challenge. It's going to go at least to the split, even if most people thought that Celtic still might win it. But, you know, it doesn't look like the case now. And, you know, listen, we've said before all season, Celtic have got a way of winning and they know how to win. Rangers have got that consistency to find. They haven't strung enough wins back to back. As you said, was it five games they haven't won now? So, therefore, you know, they've got. I think they owe their fans a couple of big performances to at least make Celtic earn it rather than just give it to them, just hand it to them. So I think that I can see Rangers winning tonight against Hearts. I think particularly because Ikpeazu's not available and Stephen Naismith's not available, so I don't see a lot of goals from Hearts. But from Celtic's point of view, I think they will still continue just, you know, get along their business, because I think one, they've got the semi-final to coming up and they're still looking for that treble. So they want that consistency to stay there. So I don't see them really taking their foot off the gas too much, because they know they need that to keep that momentum going right to the end of the season, because they'll be hoping there's a cup final there. So it'll be Aberdeen, of course, but they'll be hoping there's a cup final.
Why is it that people at this stage of the season always... You would expect Celtic to be able to just kick on straight away and get it over the line. Why is it that complacency can set in?
I think fatigue kicks in, not just physical tiredness, but I think mental tiredness as well. It's a long season. Champions League wasn't quite as expected. A bit of Europa League action. So I think there's an element of fatigue. But also, I think manager's instinct is to start making changes. So that's four. And I think the worry for Celtic fans and Neil Lennon is complacency becoming their biggest challenge. The Aberdeen semi-final is the most important game. When Celtic win the league, it's a semantic point, they will win the league, but Neil Lennon's challenge is to keep the players sufficiently motivated and keep the team, at least the core of the team, together to make sure they've got the Scottish Cup final to look forward to. And if they overcome Aberdeen, then the final, they become even greater favourites, and the treble is well and truly on.
Yeah, but also I think that from Neil Lennon's point of view, he's still hoping that he gets the Celtic job on a permanent basis. So, you know, the quality of football, the results will obviously dictate that. I mean, you can't people saying, oh well, they've beaten Rangers, should give him the job. Well, again, that's up to opinion. But I think if he continues to win all the games ahead of him and gets to that cup final and manages to win that cup final, then he puts himself in real pole position. So I don't think he'll be easing off the players to say, okay, guys, listen, you can just see the season out now.
Okay, thank you to Thomas, Celtic fan in St George's
Here's
Cross.
Here's a left field.
Oh, on the teaser, yeah, what you got?
Landry and Nguemo.
Oh, straight in with one of the most difficult
Cameroonian
ones. Yes.
Midfielder.
Landry and Nguemo.
I was thinking of all the loan players that came in over that
period. Mo Salah.
Nope, you're still a few years out, I would imagine.
Can't remember. Was that long before that?
Yeah, I think so. So Nguemo is the one of the 11. This question's so good that someone has tweeted in and said, Stephen Boyle, and he says, if they get, insert yes, difficult person. Name here, yeah. I'll eat this laptop, he says. Wow. Make sure you video that, Stephen, that would be brilliant.
Give us a clue position.
Fullback, I think. Anyway, I'll do some teams from tonight's games, shall we? Motherwell, you can almost pick the Motherwell team these days, can't you? But one change, actually, I think it is, by the looks of it. Mark Gillespie, Richard Tate, Carol McHugh in, Tom Aldred, Alan Campbell, Curtis Main, Bolly Aribe, Liam Grimshaw, Charles Dunn, David Turnbull, Jake Hastie. Pretty much picks itself, doesn't it? As for Aberdeen, Joe Lewis in goal, Dom Ball, Graham Shinney, Andy Considine, Scott McKenna, Dean Campbell, Conor McLennan, Niall McGinn, Lewis Ferguson, Max Lowe and Sam Cosgrove. A strong looking Aberdeen side, Jim Duffy. Yep. They'll be looking to kickstart a run, because they've been on a sticky run, particularly at home.
Yeah, I think obviously Sam Cosgrove was scoring, you know, goals for fun for a good spell, started the season poorly, but then came a great run, and I think that coincided with Aberdeen's upturn in results. And again, like anybody, when you're relying on one scorer, as you mentioned before, like Morelos, Aberdeen don't have a lot of other goal scorers in their team. Greg Stewart was fantastic for Kilmarnock. First time up Aberdeen, second time Aberdeen, doesn't seem to quite click.
I'll tell you what, we're going to squeeze in Gary because he's going to the game at Ibrox, so he's going to be standing outside waiting to get in. Gary, how are you feeling? 10 minutes to kick off. What are you thinking ahead of tonight?
Really looking forward to the game, and just I hope there's as good an attitude as there was the second half on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the thing, I suppose, Gary. It's quite easy to find the positives from the performance on Sunday. They came in the second half. They came from Ryan Kent. Is it going to be as easy to replicate? Well, in fact, that's going to be a stupid question because Morelos isn't playing. But how much of a problem is it going to be without him for four games? They've managed it on Sunday, but by and large, Rangers struggle without him.
I think it's time for Jermaine Defoe to step up to the plate. I also feel disheartened at the attitude of so many of the Rangers supporters, and I know that Sunday was disappointing, and I can assure you I was absolutely gutted as well. But the bottom line is that I felt, and all season, even though we haven't broken down teams and we've lost silly games and drawn silly games, I think the attitude is a big difference. And unfortunately, you know, I feel sorry for Ryan Kent on Sunday. I know he lost the place a wee bit. But the point of the matter is, this is a guy who cares. And although it should be controlled, I feel as if this team care. And I'm pleased. I'm disappointed at how we're finishing position-wise. But attitude-wise, I think this team will improve. And I think Steven Gerrard is the right man. And I hope tonight is a starting block for us.
Do you think will there be that type of, you know, that type of atmosphere, that siege mentality, if you can call it that? You expecting the Rangers fans to kind of go there and make themselves heard and expect a reaction from the team? I know they did well in the second half, but they still lost the game.
I think Rangers fans rightly expect to be entertained, because you look at who's come in. Stephen Davis, you know, former captain, international class player. Jermaine Defoe, who's done it in the Premier League. So there should be the onus of expectation on the players. Where I disagree with the caller is saying the attitude is different. Professional footballers are professional footballers. The difference between winning titles, winning silverware, is ability over the stretch of a season or a cup competition. And that's where Rangers have fallen down. We touched on it off air as well. The number of goals from midfield. So you take the striker out, you take the 29 goal Alfredo Morelos out. And yes, the onus on Defoe with five goals and Lafferty, who's only got four. But it's the support act. That's the difference between Celtic and Rangers.
Let's take this break so we can go back to Ibrox and to St Mirren before kick-off.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to thompsons.com.
Fast approaching kick-off in the big games all across the Scottish Premiership this evening. So let's go back to St Mirren and get a final preview ahead of St Mirren Celtic with Alison Conroy.
Thank you, Gordon. Yes, it is, of course. So six changes for St Mirren tonight as Oran Kearney has that one look ahead to the big game against Hamilton Accies on Saturday. Haladke in goal, a back three of Popescu, Baird, Ferdinand. Then midfield, Corbu, McPherson, McGinn, Kellerman and Muzek. Up top, Cook and Nazon. For Celtic, those four changes, Bain in goal, a back four of Lustig, Simonovic, Ayer and Izzy Geary. Then it'll be Brown and Cham. Then the three of Forrest, McGregor and Weah. And up top, it will be Oliver Burke. A decent crowd here in Paisley for this one in a very, very chilly stadium.
A couple of minutes to go until kick-off in Paisley. Let's go to Ibrox and get a rundown of Rangers against Hearts with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, Sunday's result and being 13 points behind Celtic hasn't put the fans off for this one. A packed Ibrox as we build up to kick-off here, and Rangers will also take lots of confidence from the fact that they've won the last five games against Hearts. Two of them were this season under Steven Gerrard. The team's making their way out the tunnel at the moment for Rangers. It's four changes for them from that defeat on Sunday. Halliday and Morelos, they're both suspended, while Candeias and McCrory drop to the bench. In come Flanagan, Kamara, Davis and Defoe. It's Alan McGregor in goal. It's a back four of James Tavernier, Joe Worrell, Connor Goldson and John Flanagan. It's a midfield four, Ryan Jack at the base of a diamond with Glenn Kamara, Stephen Davis just in front of them, and Scott Arfield is in the number 10 role. Ryan Kent playing more central as a striker next to Jermaine Defoe this evening. The substitutes: Fotheringham, Katic, McCrory, Koulibaly, Gresda, Candeias and Lafferty. Hearts make two changes from their last outing. Mulroney and Ekpiezu drop out. In come Bozanic and Godinho. A 3-5-1-1 for them. Flamel in goal as a back three of Connor Shaughnessy, Christoph Berra and John Souter. Jamie Brandon, Arnaud Jim, Peter Herring, Oliver Bozanic and Marcus Godinho are the midfield five, with Sean Clare just in behind Craig White. In the substitutes, Doyle, Lee, McLean, Keena, Mulroney, Dicamona and Burns. The referee for this one at Ibrox is Kevin Clancy.
There we go, the scene is set, the pre-match talking is done. Andrew McLean and Alison Conroy will keep you right up to speed on our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB, and of course they will bring you all the post-match reaction for tomorrow night's show as well. We're just about to kick off in all those other games across the divisions. Let's remind ourselves of that fixture list: Aberdeen, Motherwell, Hibs, Kilmarnock, Livy, Hamilton and St Johnstone, Dundee, as well as the two games we've mentioned. Right, I don't want to dwell on this too long, mm-hmm. but a quick predictor for the fixtures tonight.
I would go Celtic 2-0.
Okay, Rangers to do the business at home, or Hearts to hold them?
No, I think 2-0 for Rangers as well.
Darryl?
Rangers 1-0. Celtic could be 4-0.
Any standouts from the other games? Any shocks? Anything of note?
I think Dundee might get something at St Johnstone. I just think just having that, you say the reason that St Mirren played right, the changes they've made, and the fact is that they really have to have a performance. So I think Dundee might get a result at St Johnstone. I can maybe see them nicking that one, but the rest of the result, I think Aberdeen are at home, aren't they? I think fancy Aberdeen.
Against Motherwell, yeah.
So I think that would be the one for me.
I think a couple of draws. I think Aberdeen, Motherwell, Hibs, Kilmarnock. There's just, not much between the teams. Motherwell, strong. Aberdeen, 2 points from the last 12. I can see that being a draw. Hibs, Kelly, high scoring draw.
Yeah.
2-2. Livingston, I think, will beat Hamilton, which sets up Saturday for a must win game for the Ackies.
All I've really been doing here is giving you more time to come up with the answers on this teaser.
It's hard to think when you're speaking as well.
It's we're just over 9 years
right,
on from okay. Celtic losing 4-0 at St Mirren. Can you name the Celtic starting 11 from that game in 2010? You've got Nguemo. And that's it so far.
Well, we did.
You did well during the break.
We might dig a few.
Clyde One's
Mark Wilson is in there. Yep.
Yeah.
His fault for all four, probably.
Lucas Zaluska, the goalkeeper.
Yes.
Aidan McGeady.
Now you are doing well, I must say. Aidan McGeady, yep.
Right. Robbie Keane.
Yes.
Georgius Samaras.
Samaras is in there.
And then we're into the guessing game.
You're in trouble. To the guy who said he was going to eat his laptop if they got a certain answer on the teaser, all I'll tell you is Darryl Broadfoot is aware of who you mean. He knows the nationality.
Dutch left back, World Cup finalist,
so,
I think.
Get ready. Get a laptop ready if he manages to get the name.
You better get a bit of chocolate spread over it or something.
Yeah, just
Ulrich Larsson?
No. I must say, just I know we're focused on the big league up here, but looking down the road, Tottenham's new stadium opening tonight, Jim Duffy, we've just been watching the television pictures come in. What a faff before they kicked off the game. They had performers on the pitch and fireworks, and the players were out for ages. And I'll tell you what, it looks magnificent. Let's be honest about it. But
you just always know a damp swim. Yeah, nil nil. It's difficult because there's been so much of a build up about the whole stadium aspect that ultimately Tottenham still got a job to do to make sure they finish in the top four. They've been applauded right through the season, but this is the time it counts. The next 6-7 games or whatever's got left is really, really important.
Ederson, left back. Ederson, is that his first?
It's close to his first name.
Okay.
Let's speak to Laurie and Dennison. Hi, Laurie.
Panel, good evening.
Hi, Laurie.
To be in the programme again.
Good to have you, Laurie.
I would like to make an observation, and then I would invite Darryl and Jim for the responses.
Mm-hmm.
I do concede readily that Alfredo Morelos is a prolific goal scorer. The stats speak for themselves. However, I do think that when asked to step onto the big stage, he shrinks under the spotlight and he fades into the background. I think that Edouard, Celtic centre-forward, is a better all-round player. I make this comparison to you that, to me, Edouard is better at all-round play. He links up better. He's great upper body strength, which enables him to shrug off defenders. An outstanding close control. He finishes clinically. I think that Alfredo Morelos, I've watched him, he seems to feast on inferior opposition. Now, I do understand that you do only get the same 3 points if you're scoring or winning against St Mirren or Dundee or Hamilton Accies than what you would against Celtic. But the games that matter, the crunch games, are against Celtic, and he's failed and failed miserably when he's come up against Celtic. I think that Celtic have got a quartet of big, strapping central defenders. And whenever I watch Alfredo Morelos, he seems to get swatted aside like an irritating fly when he's up against our defenders. The panel's thoughts.
Just quickly, Jermaine Defoe has the ball in the net for Rangers, but it's offside. Jim Duffy, what about Laurie's comparison?
Yeah. No, I mean, again, as I said, you know, there are times where I don't really think he's... he's had the opportunity, if you want to call it that, to show whether he's good enough, you know, in those type of games. Because, you know, a couple of early on games, particularly one at Celtic Park, Celtic completely dominated. So I had like a touch of the ball. This time around here, he was sent off in the very early part of the game.
Sorry, early goal for Aberdeen. Max Lowe has broken the deadlock inside 3 minutes. Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0. Goalless elsewhere. Sorry, on you go.
So I think that's the thing. I think you have to see if Rangers are playing well, like the game New Year, then, you know, obviously Morelos can certainly, I think over the season, he's come up against very strong players. We've said McKenna, Considine, came up to the Hearts back line. So I think a wee bit unfair, Laurie, in the fact that he's been swatted. I think that Celtic have controlled the game. I think that's part of the reason why he's been ineffective. And obviously, he has. You've got to stay on the pitch to be effective.
Comparing apples and pears, two completely different styles of striker. Mm. Both hugely talented, both still to reach their peak. Mm-hmm. But Rangers play a different style to suit Alfredo Morelos than Celtic play to Odson-Edwards strengths. The one thing they do have in common is that they're hugely talented young players who have some weaknesses that need to be ironed out, but I think they will both be top players in time.
Laurie?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I do think that Edward has got more strings to his bow than what Alfredo Morelos has. I think that ultimately Ed's son, Edward, will be the subject of a very lucrative bid from teams down south. I think Alfredo Morelos will be lucky to play in a championship in England. My best guess is that he will join Caixinha and the other Latinos in Mexico, and he'll play in a mariachi league in Latin America.
I think both could play in the Premier League in England, but I think in order for Alfredo Morelos to do that, he has to curb the disciplinary issues that have blighted his career in Scotland.
There are certainly English Championship clubs which would take a look, you would imagine, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I don't know about Premiership clubs yet, I have to be honest with you. I think he has to do a little bit better, and also his discipline is obviously an issue. But listen, goal scorers, you know, always attract attention. No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, but I think again, you've got to be careful. You wouldn't expect the top teams to come from. So therefore, would you go to a team in the bottom area?
Well,
make a lot of money.
But Cardiff City, I mean, he's had a terrible injury, but Cardiff City have put Callum Patterson up front.
Yes,
who we identify as a right back.
Yeah.
And I think both Alfredo Morelos and Odson Edward, on their form, can absolutely play in the Premier League at that level. Not a top four team.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that they could go to somewhere, you know, in the sense that a club might take a punt on them. But again, would he thrive there? I don't think, because you're getting very few chances. You're on the back foot all the time. I think knowing his personality, he'd be even more frustrated because you're defending all the time. So I think he's got a bit to go yet. And then if he can get to a team like a Bournemouth, say, for Thompson, who plays some good football and attacking, and if Callum Wilson moved on, then I think, yeah, possibly. But I think it'll take a little bit.
Okay, the only goal we've got comes at Pittodrie. A bit of a freak opener is how it's been described. It looked like a cross from Max Lowe. It's gone into the back of the net. Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0. Goalless everywhere else. Daryl Broadfoot is jumping for joy in the studio. Are you going to tell me why?
Get that laptop out. I think I've got it.
Oh dear.
What's his name?
It's Edison or Emerson.
You don't need his first name.
Braffite.
Oh, Braffite it is. Well done. Get the laptop out. Let's send us the video, please, at Clyde SSB.
I wouldn't get Braffite, but
I was singing through the alphabet in my head there.
Ki Sung Young is one of them. We're doing better now. I like it. Right, you've got 1, 2, 3 to get.
Vidar Reese?
No, you're miles out. Yeah, you're miles out on the time. Right, you've got both centre halves still to get, and a sort of attacking midfielder. A midfielder. Yeah, he was a bit more of attacking back in the day. He's not quite in.
Is he Spanish?
No, absolutely not. He's Scottish.
Attacking midfielder, but not so
right. The centre halves. Yeah. I'm going to need to give you clues. I think because we're running out of time. One of the centre halves still plays in our Premiership, but for one of the lower teams in the Premiership. Your old club, Jim Duffy.
Dundee.
Yes.
Dundee.
Dundee. Yep.
Dundee.
I think we should revise
this. Paul McGowan.
Yes. Wow. Paul McGowan is done. Well done, Jim Duffy.
You just mentioned the D. That just jarred my memory.
I think we should revise the laptop challenge for the remaining centre half. I think this is possibly the hardest out of them all.
So he must be right sided because Dan's.
That isn't going to help
don't
you.
Dutch.
No, you're thinking far too much here, Darryl.
Converted
straight.
I'll name some of his other clubs. Stockport, Portsmouth, Tranmere, Southport.
It's not helping. Marvin Cropper.
He's English. He's now 28, so he would have been young at the time.
Very young. Yeah.
Not Kelvin Wilson.
Nope. I can tell you really no more about this guy apart from his initials if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
JT.
Josh Thompson.
Well done, we got there in the end. Thank you, Daryl Broadfoot and Jim Duffy for joining me, Gordon Duncan. Goalless St Mirren Celtic. It's goalless between Rangers and Hearts. In fact, it's goalless in all the games apart from Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0. So there's going to be a lot of fallout from tonight, a lot of post-match reaction. If you want to hear it, you have to join us tomorrow night from 6 in the company of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Stay where you are for now because Callum Gallagher is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.